Today is January 27, 2021. This is part 13 and the final Grand Canyon oral history interview with Peter Brown. Common spelling. My name is Tom Martin. Good evening, Peter. How are you?
Real good, Tom. It's nice to be here on our last day, but then real sad too.
Yeah.
Going too much?
Yeah, the wind is that's all right. We are at River Mile 279 on the Colorado River. We have left Grand Canyon National Park and we are now in Lake Mead National Recreation Area, camping on the banks of the Colorado River. The crew has assembled a ring of chairs around a fire, and the boats are parked on the water by the shore there, tied to shore, and there's a tule raft down there standing on its end, propped up with sticks. Today was your final day on the tule raft, on your row through Grand Canyon. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it is every time I look at that raft and think about just how it performed today, it's still buoyant, it's still structurally sound, it's still moving through the water, no problem at all. That's 280 miles of white water, being in the water most days. Incredible, I think. I really do. I mean, I just cannot believe that we were able to do that. So your inspiration on this was proven correct.
I didn't know it would work.
Oh, you well, yeah, but you had an inclination that ancient man could have, or woman, could have wandered down the river on their tule reed raft.
Yes, and you have proved it could be done.
It could be done.
In pretty harsh circumstances in the middle of the winter, of course, you know, the water is cold with releases from Glen Canyon Dam. That would not be prehistoric.
No.
And, of course, this time of year, the river would be very cold and very low. But in the fall, the river would be warmer and lots of sand, beaches, and...
Well, even in the winter in the past, it probably... And, it you know, there would have been so much more variable flow as well. So, you know, certainly, as river runners today know, that lower water helps in some cases and lower water makes it harder in some cases.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think in the past, if you had the natural flow, it would have both helped and it would have made it easier in some cases, but harder in some others. But yeah. Certainly, I mean, you know, the water temperature, you wouldn't have needed a dry suit necessarily most times of year, probably. You wouldn't have needed a PFD again because I think, you know, the raft provides enough buoyancy that as long as you can hold on to the raft and keep yourself close to that.
Right.
Yeah.
So the raft would be a PFD.
The raft would be a PFD.
Right. Right. Which is, I think, something I certainly learned watching you work the boat on the river was, you know, as long as you could keep with the boat, then you had a stable platform to crawl back up on and carry on.
And carry on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So otherwise, it's been a blast. It's been a fun way, as I mentioned the last interview, that it's just an incredibly intimate way to travel on the water on the Colorado River and to go through the rapids, but even just to float this flat water the last couple of days has been, you know, very fun, just very interesting and just cruising down the river.
What would you do different next time?
Well, that's a good question. Well, first of all, I mean, you know, now I know it took a few days in there at the beginning and, you know, in interviews, I think we talked about that, to actually get a technique for riding the raft. I do think it would be interesting to kind of play with the center of gravity a little bit more and on the raft. But otherwise, I wouldn't do anything different. It seemed to work really well. Again, the ride in the rapids, just straddle it like a horse and keep your feet in the water and hold on.
Okay.
And keep it pointed straight. But that's the, you know, even with a 18-foot raft, you'd want to keep it pointing straight at the rapids.
Right. As far as gear, Anything you'd do differently if you were going to run a Thule raft through Grand Canyon again in the middle of the winter?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we had the seat on it that was pretty nice. That worked out really well. One thing was the last couple of days I've had the seat blown up a little bit more just because we've been doing 20-mile days.
Hmm.
When I, you know, in the rapids and in the fast water, it helps to be lower on the seat, so I've let the air out of the seat most of the days.
Hmm. For center gravity?
Center gravity.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It is a little more tippy even just being 2 inches off of the board that we have, you know, straddling the three bundles.
Okay.
But no, it, I think we hit the right combination of equipment. Certainly the construction of the Thule boat was spot on, I think.
It was luck.
Yeah, well, it's so, probably not a really complicated system to have to deal with, but yeah.
Right. So it would be a question of cordage. And yeah. if you were a good weaver and you weaved a lot of cordage, either with grapevine or with agave fibers or even Thule itself, that's fairly tough.
You know, that would be an interesting question is next time if we wanted to do this again, experiment to make it completely natural.
Right. But, and that would be interesting to see if that could work. I mean, there'd be no seat, there'd be no board to sit on, there'd be no straps holding the board down.
Kneeling on the raft, perhaps, or just sitting flat on the raft would work. Sitting flat would probably be best. Just
someone younger, stronger
than
an old guy like me.
And 64-year-old like me.
Yeah, to kneel for 280 miles, I don't know. But the buoyancy would still be there.
The buoyancy would still be there. And again, I think that is the most surprising thing to me about the whole thing, is that thing has remained buoyant. That Thule must have a lot of air pockets in it. That are pretty waterproof, that do not soak up water that much.
Right.
So.
Right. I'm amazed at its buoyancy, the fact that you're still a couple inches out of the water, you're not getting wet.
Nope.
In the rapids, okay, you're getting wet, but on the flat water, you're out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been out of the water the entire trip.
Pretty much.
And, except for the rapids.
Here, the last couple of days on the flat water here in the Silts, I haven't gotten wet at all, except for my feet when I get in and out of the boat.
Okay.
So, not even my seat.
Yeah, that's. I just find that amazing.
That's it.
Well, Peter Brown, thank you so very, very much for
Tom.
Your willingness to paddle this thing all the way through the Grand Canyon, or attempt it, and you succeeded, and I congratulate you for that. It's absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you again for the opportunity, and again for your inspiration on this, and your vision that it would actually work.
No. An attempt. A vision of an attempt.
Okay.
And here we are.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that, anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Yep. This will conclude part 13. Grand Canyon Oral History Interview with Peter Brown. Today is January 27th, 2021. We are at River Mile 279 on the Colorado River, having just exited Grand Canyon National Park. Peter Brown has paddled a Thule reed kayak or raft.
That was just a side note on that. We were debating that going down the river yesterday as to what they actually call the thing. I would call it a raft, but I think it's officially a kayak. So, but I don't know what the definition of a raft versus a kayak is.
Right. Right.
Anyway. But
yeah. Definitely
Thule reed boat.
A Thule reed watercraft.
Yes.
Brilliant. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.